I appreciate everyone's presence today. We're glad you're here. I ask that you would be in prayer for me as I bring this message. I don't know when this is going to leave my mind, but I've still got the church on it. And one particular thing that I have this morning is on the body of Christ. Now, the church is not an organization. It is an organism. It is a living, breathing, active thing. And it's not an organization in the way that the AMA, the American Medical Association, or the NRA, or the, you know, everybody knows what NRA stands for, right? National Rifle Association, or the National Organization of Women. Okay? I could use a lot of different acronyms for these things, but the church is not that. It is not political in its nature. It is not used to promote its own agenda as every other organization does. Now, it does promote, you know, all those other organizations are have their own agenda that they're promoting. You know, the NRA likes to do everything for, and it's all about guns, okay? And the promotion of the our amendment rights, okay? And that's what it's geared towards. Now, the church, it is only about promoting God's agenda according to God's will. And it's not, you know, like any one particular member of the church doesn't try to promote his will over God's will. You see how it's different than an organization, even though the church is organized. Now, I'd like to say this as a foundational point, because we're going to talk about Jesus Christ being the head and all this. But in a broader sense, the church promotes God's agenda. And it takes its marching orders from God. And I want us to remember, as this foundational principle, is that God is one God. There's one God. He is in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, but he was God before they named him Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. They're united. Y'all understand that the Trinity is united. And there's nothing that the Spirit of God would ever lead you to do that's outside or inconsistent with His Word, because He's unified. I'll tell you a little story. I got a lot of stories. But a preacher friend of mine in another state said that he was acquainted with this man that was a minister in a denomination that really put a lot of emphasis on the Spirit. And he told this preacher friend of mine, "I believe the Spirit is leading me to leave my wife and marry the piano player at church." Y'all hearing what I'm saying? He, and my preacher friend said, the Spirit's telling you that, but it ain't God's Spirit. Because that's inconsistent with what God said in His Word. So the Spirit of God is not going to lead you down a path that's inconsistent with the Word that He gave us in this Scripture. Do y'all understand that? Y'all see that there's unity in the Trinity. They're all consistent with their own will, their own motivations. That's why Jesus always did the will of the Father. And that's the reason why whatever Jesus asked for, God gave him. Amen. Because he always did the will of the Father. Now, the Apostle Paul used the term, and I want us to remember that the Trinity is unified through all this and throughout all ages, world without end, amen. He's always going to be unified. Now, the Trinity is not my subject, but we need to remember that. The Apostle Paul used the word or phrase, the body of Christ, multiple times in several different letters that he wrote. The church is an organism that functions as a body. Turn to Colossians 1 and let's see where I want to start. Well, it's hard to start in the middle of a sentence. Well, let's start in 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, talking about Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, listen to this, for by him were all things created. Did you know that? That by him, Jesus Christ, the Word, was all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Y'all get that? I make turkey calls and I make turkey calls to use. I make turkey calls for me. I make turkey calls for other people. And God didn't just make this and like the deists say, they consider the world just kind of like a wound up clock, like God just wound it up after creation and he's just letting her go. That's not how God operates. His creation is by him and for him, for his purposes. Now, and he is before all things. That means he's omnipresent and he's eternal. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now we think about, men will call other men your eminence. Well, that might be all right if they hold somebody up on a high pedestal, but they're not preeminent. Only preeminence belongs to Jesus Christ and God himself. All right? He's preeminent. All things were made by him and for him. There's no other entity, no other God, no other power that is as eminent as Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, so we have this. Let me read 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, this clearly says that the church is the body. And this clearly says that Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Now, I want to talk about this. What would you do without your head? I mean, your natural head. What would happen to you if your natural head was gone? It would bring forth immediate death. And you would be not only paralyzed, but you'd be dead. Now, what does the head do? Brother Bruce, he's a doctor and he's here. He's a medical man. You might enjoy some of this. I hope you enjoy all of it, Brother Bruce. The head is where it's the nerve center of the body. It's where ideas are conceived. It's where every muscle receives its orders from. When the brain, and it's happened so fast that they can't even measure how fast. That when your brain tells you, sends the impulses down the nerves and to the muscles, and the muscles receive the impulses, they go right into action right then, don't they? So it has a desire that I'm thirsty. So the body is desiring to have some water. And when my brain tells my muscles to do it, see, I desire it now, but it hadn't told them to do it yet. Okay. But when it tells my hand, when the brain says, all right, now's the time, then you pick up the glass. Take the top off in a coordinated way. Take a drink and it's satisfied. Isn't that a blessing? The brain is such an amazing thing that we don't even understand it. They've tried to map the brain and they've come out with pretty good, you know, they understand a little bit about it. But they don't understand all of the intricacies and the speed at which it functions. Now, the head is the nerve center of the body. So Christ is the nerve center of the church. He gives her every instruction that she needs. And, you know, I tell you, this is amazing because it's a coordinated effort. Y'all remember when I told you about that as a therapist, I've seen a lot of things. That boy that, you know, he wanted to get up in the chair and he couldn't figure it out. He knew what he wanted to do. He just couldn't get it done. The nerve, that was because there was a mix-up in his brain. There was a miscommunication between his brain and his body. My friends, the Bible will help us understand exactly how this is going to go. And when the God says do it, we ought to just do it, shouldn't we? We have a hard time with that, don't we? Sometimes we're like that old boy that had a hard time figuring out how to sit in the chair. Now, there were some wires crossed in that system of his between his brain and his muscles. Sometimes we know what to do and don't know how to do it. Sometimes we know how to do something, but we just don't know what to do. Have y'all ever been there? I just don't know what to do. If you don't know what to do, maybe you need to wait and not do nothing until the Lord tells you to do something. As long as you're doing what He's already told us what to do. Now, there's a constant feedback loop between the body and the brain. I'm going to use this illustration of this water. I would like for this water, this is what I have in my brain. I want this water to sit on this table right here. But it's not staying. It's falling off. I don't understand why. You see that? It's just not staying up there. Why isn't it staying up there? I can't figure it out. Why? It's just something's wrong. I'm doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. And if I want to have a different result, I've got to do something different. So the brain and the muscles are constantly giving feedback to the brain, and the brain to the muscles. And the brain says, that's not right. You have to do something different. So I'm going to move my arm over just a little bit. And I'm going to set it down. And there it is. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But the process of that, do you know how many synaptic whatever happened just in the last 30 seconds between my brain and my hands? It was constant. I mean, so constant, there was thousands of them going on at every moment. The body is an amazing thing. There's a constant feedback. So I think, you know what the feedback is? The feedback is prayer. When we can't get something done and we try to keep doing the same thing over and over and over, I think, this is what I think, that there's some communication difficulties that we have. You know, in our prayer life, and I didn't have a mind to speak about prayer this morning, but in our prayer life, don't we ask God for things? I did this morning for a long time. I asked God to bless with a lot of different things. You know what, though? Instead of telling the head what we need, I think it's better as far as sending him from the fingers to the head impulses, I think we need to sit there and just listen what the impulses are incoming, not outgoing, in our prayers. Y'all think about that. Because there's a constant feedback loop, it shouldn't just be one direction, like us telling God what we want or asking God for things that we need. He knows that we need them. We just need to listen to the incoming messages, not just send outgoing messages to him, to the brain. Do you see that? Let's listen a little bit better. All right. That fits perfect, don't it? Let's not be like me trying to put the water on the thing. I want this, but it's just not happening. It's just not happening. I don't know why it's not happening. All right. Now, let's get into it a little bit deeper. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. And I know we've already mentioned this as far as the duties and responsibilities of a pastor and the gift of a pastor and these other gifts that were given to the church. We'll start in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're not edifying the head, are we? We're edifying the body of Christ. How long are we supposed to be edifying the body, and how long does the body need to be edified or built up? Who knows what edifying means? Edify means to build up. It means to construct, not destruct. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are y'all there yet? I'm not. I haven't met that. The only time that we're actually going to reach the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ is when the trumpet blows and we're changed. That's the only time. But we need to be about the business of working on that and being more like Christ now, following His precepts and understanding His judgments. Now, one of the reasons that this is so important for the church to be edified and increase in knowledge and come into the unity of the faith is because there are a lot of doctrines being taught in the world. There always have been since the garden. Remember? Thou shalt not, and thou shalt. You know, you don't eat of the tree, you shall surely die, you shall not surely die. There's always been an opposer, as far as we understand, to God. And there's still a lot of opposers in this life to God. He says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. You know what that means? Y'all ever seen these people that have that are on the sidewalk in big cities, and they've got the card games or the shell games out there, and they try to get you this, and they have almost magical how they can do this, but they do it by sleight of hand. And there's a lot of men that call themselves ministers of the gospel, and even those that aren't, that are trying to convince you and all these young ones and all of us that are, and Kylie, I pray for her every day because she's at college right now, and what the colleges are doing, a lot of what happens there is they try to get the young ones to question their faith because they try to be cunning in their craftiness to dispel the notion that there is a God. Did y'all know that? They do that. And I know some dear friends of mine who went to college. They had children go to college, and they have now renounced their beliefs because of it. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know that's happening? And it's been a long time, but I read a statistic back, oh gosh, it's been 15 years ago now. And Jim Barna, who does a lot of statistics for Christian groups, said that 80%, if I'm remembering this right, 80% of confessing Christians between 18 and 30, I think, denounce their Christianity. That's staggering. 80% in that age group either question or renounce their Christianity. They're following Christ. That's hard. And one reason why is they haven't been they haven't been listening, or they haven't understood that there's sleight of men out there that are cunning to trying to dispel the notion that there is a God. And Paul says these gifts to the church, And that's how the body is edified. And when you're out of the body, you're not edified in the body. You got it? So, he says, where am I at?
14.
Yeah, that whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So that's what we ought to always be doing, is hearing the truth and speaking the truth in love and growing up into him, being nourished. We grow up into him. From whom, this is beautiful to me, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What does that mean? Break it down, Brother Paul. What does that mean? First of all, God builds his church. Jesus said that I'll build my church. He builds it. He joins it together. But that's how we're organized, by the way, is God did it. Now, but also this body needs nourishment, and it needs to thrive as a body, doesn't it? How do you thrive in your body? Do you neglect nourishment? Boy, I don't. I don't neglect any nourishment. I'm too nourished in some ways. Now, it says that the whole body fitly joined together. Now, have y'all ever seen children that draw pictures? I mean, Porter loves to draw right now. And when he draws a picture of himself or mom or daddy or whatever, he'll draw a head here. Then he'll draw a body down here, and then he'll put some arms, maybe both arms. He's big into drawing African animals like giraffes and monkeys and stuff. He'll put legs down there, and he might just put two legs, or he might, and they're not connected, okay? They're just not connected. They're disconnected. And sometimes children will do that too. They'll put one eye outside of the head. And that it's just, they're just disconnected. They can't feel compacted and fitly joined together. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is compacted and fitly joined together. And listen to how he puts it. It's so beautiful. And compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You know, do you need your joints? I need my joints. I was without a joint for a while when I had the knee surgery. And boy, let me tell you, that affected everything in my life. When I was without my hand, because I thumped my brother and had to be casted up like this for 6 weeks. Boy, I missed that. Sister Edna, we're going to miss you as part of the body. Going to be some things that we're going to have to change. Because what use the joint that you are, and what you supply to this body will be lacking after you leave. And we're going to miss you tremendously. So when we have, as far as a body goes, we're going to be in a cast for a little while, I guess. Y'all, when I had my right hand up like this, y'all know how hard it is to brush your teeth with your left hand and try to figure that out when you're not used to using it? It puts more stress on the other body, other parts of the body that aren't used to it. You can figure it out But oh, it's uncoordinated at first, isn't it? It's uncoordinated. And the longer we go, the easier it will get with more practice. But it's still hard. People that lose their legs in because of war or diabetes or whatever, they can learn to walk with a prosthetic leg, but it's hard. And the way they walk is, you know, it's not smooth and not coordinated, is it? So when part of our body is gone, it's hard for us to function. We can figure it out, but I know some of y'all that have heard this before, but if there were two people and neither one of them had an elbow joint, how would you feed yourself? How would you feed? If you couldn't bend your elbow, you could try to, but you can't get your hand to your mouth, can you? You'd have to have a spoon that long. Or maybe you could get your friend to help feed you and you could help feed them. But it'd be a whole lot easier just to have the elbow joint, wouldn't it? So without the joint, you know, every joint supplies some function in the body. Did you know that there's even sutural joints and bones in the head? There's a joint in the head. Now, your head don't move, you know, one side or the other, but it does move a little bit to allow for expansion and contraction when we have some swelling going on. This is a big subject, isn't it? The body of Christ. So we've got the head. And from whom, from that head, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working. You know what that effectual word is? It's where we get the word energy from. And it's typically almost always applied to the power of God. That which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working. What has God worked in you? Has God worked in you so to be lazy? No, He hadn't worked into anybody to be lazy. We don't need to be lazy naturally or spiritually, do we? So, but He does this according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Did you know every part of your body has a function and a need? The appendix even has a use. We can't figure out what it's used for, but it has its use. And I don't want mine gone. Have they figured out what the appendix is for, Brother Bruce?
Say that again.
Have they figured out what the appendix is for?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. But it's in there for a reason. We don't know what the reason is, but I don't want mine gone. Do you? Sometimes it can get inflamed and needs to be taken out. So we can get along with some things, but boy, I don't want to get along. I don't want to have that surgery. Do you? Now, listen to this. This is beautiful. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. That means God is active in every part of His body. Maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that whatever God has moved in you and worked in you is for the purpose of the body edifying itself and each other in love. That's beautiful to me. You know, this King James translation of the Bible is so potent with its words. It is so beautiful with its words that other versions leave out the richness of the Spirit and the Word. It's beautiful. Now, we can see this care and love later on in Ephesians 6. I'm sorry. In Ephesians 5, when he's talking about Christ and the church and the husband and his wife. I'm not going into husbands and wives today. That's a whole nother series or sermon. But he said, never has a man hated his own body, but he nourishes it and cherishes his wife just like it's his own body. And that's the way the church should function with every single member, that they nourish each one and cherish each one. And you know, Paul didn't put that in love there for no reason. That's, remember I told you, charity and love is the ground from which every godly virtue and grace grows. Every action that we do grows from love. Now, let's turn over. This is getting bigger by the minute. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's turn over there. Because this is another place that Paul talked about the church as a body. And I want to hammer some of this around for a little while. We need to get that clock back up there. I forget to look at my watch. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start with 11. Paul had already was talking to the members that he said of the church. He's talking about gifts of each one of them. And basically what Paul was saying was there's unity in diversity. Everybody's not the same. Every person's different. But there's unity in that diversity. Now, verse 11. But all these, talking about the gifts that people have, worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, Paul's talking about the local church, but right here I think we all could say that about the whole body of Christ from the creation till the trumpet. All right? We're all baptized into that one body. But at any given time and at any given location, there is a body of Christ that is the local body of Christ, of which Union Primitive Baptist Church is one of many. Now, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of that one Spirit, into one Spirit. Made to drink into one Spirit. Listen to this. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Can you imagine that? Paul's setting a visual example up here. Can you imagine just one big eye with the nerves and the blood vessels attached to it just walking around? There have been some horror movies that had some of that. It was a creepy, you know, back when I was a kid, those old black and white movies. Had one big old eye walking. I can't remember the name of the movie. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Remember, this isn't about the body, the body's agenda. This is about God's agenda. And if they were all one member, where were the body? You see? I'm going to read this. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And he starts it back up again from a different perspective. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think, y'all hear this? Which we think are more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thoroughly teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, and he keeps going. Did y'all notice what Paul did when he talked about what the members of the body say? We have two totally opposed and erroneous attitudes that Paul brought up here. Number one is the foot. He says, what did the foot say? The foot said, I'm useless because I'm not like the eye. That's what he said. And that's the attitude that the foot had. Because the attitude is, well, I'm not like Brother Paul, so I'm not part of the body. Or I'm just useless because I don't have that gift. So Paul warns against that, doesn't he? That attitude that says, oh, I'm just the appendix. You know, I did say that one time at a church meeting. I was talking about this, and one of the brothers said, I figured out what part of the body I am. I'm the appendix. I said, you can't be an appendix. You got to move. You got to have a function. But Paul says that's not the attitude that we ought to have, is that I'm useless and I can't be of any benefit to the body, because Paul says every member is a benefit to the body. You know what the other attitude Paul talked about in here was? He says, he talks about the eye's attitude. And the eye's attitude says, I am the most important one, and I don't need any of the other parts. You see what Paul did? Paul says, and he warns against having the attitude of either the foot or the eye. Foot, on one hand, I'm not useless, I'm no good to anybody. And on the other hand, I'm the most useful, and I don't need anybody else. You see that? That's what Paul exactly hit that right here, and that shouldn't be neither one of those attitudes should be held by any member of the body. You got that? So I don't want you to feel useless, and I don't want you to feel like you're irreplaceable either. I'm sure Sister Edna doesn't feel like she's irreplaceable. We're going to miss you. The body. It's a beautiful thing. But you know what? All these gifts and all these things that Paul is talking about here, he says, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He's talking about all the different gifts and the parts supply in the body. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? And the answer is no, they don't. But all of them need to be there. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. See, this church at Corinth was big on their gifts. They were big on promoting themselves as being irreplaceable. If you read it, that's what you get. They were promoting themselves in service. Now, this is the more excellent way Paul talked about. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, if Jesus Christ is the head and the nervous system of the body, did you know what love is? Love is the blood of the body. It supplies every part of the body with the nourishment it needs to thrive and also heals wounds. If you don't have good blood supply to any part of the body, the wounds don't heal, do they, Brother Bruce? That's how they gild cows and everything else. They put a rubber band around it and it falls off. Amen? Isn't that right? That's right. Because it cuts off the blood supply. And the blood in a body is essential. Did you know that in the Old Testament, God told the Israelites, he said, you're not to eat anything that has blood in it, because the life is in the blood. It's so important. I remember when Hannah had her sickness and all these doctors came in and all of them thought that they were the preeminent one. But you know which one was the real, that made the real difference? What that really everything else hinged upon was the blood doctor. The doctor that understood what was going on in the blood. Everything else was secondary to that. The life is in the blood. And if the life is in the blood, then the blood of the church is love. And do you know what the heart does? It circulates. It circulates that blood to every part. Then in this analogy of the body, if there's a central nervous system and Jesus is the head and the blood is love, then what pumps it? You know, in our bodies, we have a heart, right? That pumps the blood to nourish everything. What do you think is the pumper of the blood in the body of Christ? It's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. He pumps that. It takes the Spirit of God and the moving of the Spirit to act on the love. You know, not just to say, be ye warmed and filled, but to actually make a fire and give them something to eat. Now that's the Spirit moving among the members of the body. That's what circulates the blood. Boy, this is a big subject, isn't it? This is a big subject. And without the Spirit moving us to demonstrate love, the blood would become stagnant, wouldn't it? You know what happens when the blood becomes stagnant? That part dies. That part dies. We don't want any part of the body to die, do we? So let's love. That's why love is the principal subject. It's the principal thing. I know I've mentioned this numerous times, but I'm not going to stop mentioning it. Because love is the principal thing. You could look at it from all different angles you wanted to, and love is going to be that hinge point right there. Everything that we do and everything that we as a joint supplies the body. And the body needs every joint. It needs every limb. It needs every coordination, every coordinated effort of all of its parts together. You know what keeps me standing here? I mean, my feet. I'm standing on my feet. They're taking a lot of weight. They're holding it up. But there's also a balance. I've got to stay balanced. I've moved over here. And every now and then I'll just move a half an inch. And I'm not falling down because everything's happening. That's because my body is in tune with itself. I want each one of us as members of the body of Christ and members of one another to be in tune with every other part of the body. And I want us to work together as a body to function properly with coordination and good nourishment and joy. May God bless us to be a good body of Christ. And always, don't forget, let's always not just send outgoing messages to the head, but let's receive the incoming messages from the head. May God bless you is my prayer. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Should any want to become part of this functioning body of Jesus Christ, you may come during the song. May God bless us to be a blessing to someone else this week.